All right, open your Bibles up to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans, chapter 3. And we're going to begin to read in verse 19. Romans, chapter 3, and verse 19. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now is the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all." Let me get over here. "Upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Now, I want to just take just a second here to help us all to understand this, that it says, "For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every person has sinned. I want to get that across because, see, there are folks that think just because they're good people that they're not sinners. But here's the thing. When you were born on this earth, you were born with a nature of sin in you. In other words, you didn't have to do anything to sin. You were born into it, and you just gradually grew into that because that nature was there because of the fall of man. Now, when we start understanding that, we understand that doesn't mean we're a bad person because that we were a sinner. Right? Maybe some folks were, but maybe for some folks weren't. But sometimes, you know, it's the good people that's hard to get saved. Because they look at, you know, the bad people and they say, "Well, if they're sinners, then I'm a good person." You know, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes they look at folks that go to church and say they're saved and say, "They're the bad person, I'm a good person." They judge by their character and the way they act. And, you know, folks are watching us all the time. But here's the thing. As long as you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you are a sinner. Because only the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive your sin. And so that's why the Bible really wants us to know, and that's what I want to key on a little bit, is for us to understand and know that every one of us came from the same background, and that's the background of being a sinner. Now, here's something that you need to understand also. You cannot help where you came from. Right? We can't help where we were born. Well, thank God we were born in this country. I thank God we were born in this area. I love Eastern Kentucky. I think it's the greatest place to live in the world. You have to drive 100 miles to get to anything, but it's still a good place to live. Right? Can somebody give me an amen on that? You know, it's just the way it is. But here's the thing. We couldn't help being born around here. Some of you might not have been, but you couldn't help that. But see, here's the thing. You can't help where you came from, but you can determine where you go to. And see, that's the wonderful news. It doesn't matter about your past when it comes to God. Because God takes your sin, throws it into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. And see, that's the good news of the gospel. Every one of us were guilty, but through the blood of Jesus, we were declared innocent. Amen. And see, that's what the writer here is trying to get us to see. Paul wanted the Romans to know, listen, we were all sinners, but we've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, go look with me over in Ephesians chapter 2. This is pretty familiar scriptures, but I want you to see it because sometimes the devil will try to single us out and make us feel like we were the only ones, or we're the only ones, especially in a church service. And then, you know, I don't feel like our church is like some, but I can remember, you know, going to church back in my younger days when if the preacher knew that you were lost, he didn't look at nobody but you. You know, and he wasn't preaching to nobody but you. Of course, I understand he was trying to get you saved and that kind of thing, but it made you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Come on, now, you listen to this. Can we be honest here? You know, and it's okay to be uncomfortable if you're not saved when you're in church, because the Holy Spirit ought to be convicting you to let you know you need to be saved. But you know, you can't force somebody to be saved. It's every person has to make up their mind whether or not they're going to give their life to Jesus. And every person has got to make up their mind whether they're going to continue to live for Jesus or not. You have to decide that. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can live it for you. You have to make that decision. So look here in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you," say me, "and you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." You see, you were dead. You would have had no hope without the Lord Jesus Christ. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." In other words, he says, you know, this is where you were. You were the same place. When you see lost folk, you were in the same classification. Come on, you might give me an amen. Whether you like it or not, if you were just a liar and told a lot of lies, you were in the same boat with a person that was a murderer, because all sin is sin. You weren't the righteousness of God yet. It says that's where we were. Look, and it even says, verse 3, "among whom also we..." See, when Paul's writing to children at Ephesus, he's telling them, he said, this is where you were, and we were in the same place. He said, "also where we were, we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." See, there's that sin nature he's talking about. Nobody has to teach you to do those things. You just gravitate toward them because of that sin nature that's in you. So he says, you all are there. We've been there too. See that? So Paul wants everybody to know we all coming from the same place. And then he gets in verse 4 and he says, "but God." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad "but God" is there? Amen. All of us were in trouble had it not been for God. He says, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us." Remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us with such a great love that even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Look at that. "And he's raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Notice what God says here. Paul writing, and he says, listen, we all were in the same boat, we all were doing the same thing, we all came from the same path, but God. But God, because he loved us so much, allowed his Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross for us, to be crucified on that cross, to go to hell, pay the punishment for us, and then raise him up and seat him in heavenly places. And when he seated Jesus in heavenly places, he seated us there with him. Hallelujah. See, that's awesome to know that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we go from darkness to light, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And then once we come into the kingdom of his Son, immediately he seats us at his right hand in heavenly places. Isn't that good news? Thank God you don't have to work your way up in the kingdom of God. Amen. God's no respecter of persons. Every one of us, just like we all came from the same past, now all of a sudden, here we are sitting in the same present, right up there at the right hand of God with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Made us to sit in heavenly places. And here's the thing. It said, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any... See, what he's saying here is, you didn't have anything to do with that other than the fact that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But God did that. He wanted it. He loved you so much that He wanted to make sure that you got to come to heaven and be with Him. But while you were on earth, He thought He'd just give you a good seat. Come on, gave you the best seat in the world. Come on now. You can't get a better seat than seated at the right hand of the Father with the Lord Jesus Christ. So see, I want you to understand, if you're today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Listen, we all been there. We came out of the same thing. We just made it our choice to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior because He was the one that died for our sins.
Amen.
He's the one that became a substitute for us. And so as we're looking at this, I want you to see that. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and let's look here in verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Once again, he says, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together," once again, that means made alive, "with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Look at verse 14. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." The Lord Jesus Christ took our sins to the cross with Him so that we would not have to pay the penalty for them. That's how much God loved us. The Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin for us. The Lord Jesus Christ did not know sin. He was made to be sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, He took our sin and gave us His righteousness. Righteousness means nothing other than being in right standing with God. Isn't that good news? See, you talk about a trade. You talk about a deal. You talk about love from the Father. He allowed Jesus, His only Son, to pay the price for you and I. Think about that. Could you do that? Could you allow your child to take the sins of the world? And the Bible says He did it while we were still sinners. While we were yet sinners, He still did that. Before we ever loved Him, He did that. What an awesome God we serve. Now, all we have to do is believe and confess, because Jesus has already paid the price for us. We just got to believe on the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe that He died for our sins. And confess Him as our Lord. See, God did not make it hard. He did make it. Look over here in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let's go to verse 6. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. It says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God have raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." See that, how easy He made it? It's not hard. See, it's just a decision that you have to make. It's what you have to do. Then He goes on and says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth is confession made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. Notice that. That means anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. It's not a hard thing. People try to make it hard. It's so amazing that we have heard all of our life, or I have anyway, you know, how hard it was to get saved. And, you know, people would tell their stories of how they was trying to get saved and all this stuff, you know. And all of that was just man-made stuff. Man's opinions about things. They didn't know what the Word actually said about it. you know, there are folks that believe that you've got to go on this journey to try to get yourself right in some way. But you can't make yourself right. Only the blood of Jesus can forgive sins, you see. That's what you've got to understand. That's the only thing that can save is when you make Jesus Christ your Lord, when you confess Him as your Lord, you're saved. It don't matter what your past was. Do you know it doesn't matter where you're at right now? You could be a drug addict right now and decide, I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life and receive Him as your Lord and Savior and be saved right there.
Yes.
Amen. You say, what about the drug addiction? Well, then you've made your commitment to God. Now you've got to get rid of the drugs. Right? Come on now. He says, be ye holy even as I'm holy. Then you live the life that God wants you to live. What if I mess up? Well, join the crowd. I'll put both hands up. I've messed up plenty. And that's what Christians do. They're not perfect. They're born again. They're saved. And you're not perfect. You will mess up. But thank God you have the blood of Jesus Christ. You can ask Him to forgive you and He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So I've heard folks say this before. Well, I'm just afraid that I can't live it and I don't want to be a hypocrite. Man, I'd rather try and end up a hypocrite as not try and go to hell. Right? Come on, can we just be frank about this? You know, but here's the thing. Ain't nobody can live it without Jesus. But if you'll stay with Jesus, if you'll stay with the Lord, if you'll stay with what He says, you'll be all right. Come on now. It's kind of, we used the little illustration there a few minutes ago with Lillian's dog. There might be a time or two that you go after the baloney. But there's always going to be your Heavenly Father that starts telling you to come on back. That He loves you and He'll forgive you and just welcome you right back in. Amen. Don't fall for the baloney. Just stay right there with God because He's got everything you need. Amen. And see, that's what God wants us to see today is the fact that it's so easy to get saved. And you know what? It's easy to live for Him. It is. I never got any amens on that. But it's easy to live for Him. The thing that makes living for God hard is when you want to go after the baloney. Come on, if you'll stay with the things of God, it's easy. Long as sugar stays in the yard, he's good. Right? He'll come back in, they'll give him a treat, he'll have everything he needs there. What makes it hard on him is when he starts running away and he gets whipped then. Right? He gets punished and gets, you know, maybe get put in a cage, caged up or locked off or whatever where he can't run around. That's his punishment for taking off. You see, God will chastise you. He loves you enough to chastise you. If He didn't love you, He'd just let you do what you want to and just let you go on to hell. But He let His Son die for us. And because He let His Son die for us, He doesn't want that to be in vain. He wants to make sure that every person can receive that forgiveness of sin, receive the sacrifice that His Son made for the sins of the whole world. He wants us living the life that He's chosen us to have. And I'm telling you something, it's a good life. Come on now. He said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. It's a life of joy. It's a life of peace. Come on, when you got Jesus in your life, man, you got peace in your life. He said, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives, my peace. You have peace. You have the promise of healing. You have the promise of prosperity. What else would you want in life? To have a good life, to have a healthy life, and have a prosperous life. Is there anything else you could have on this earth? And then we get heaven afterward. See, that's the good news. Hallelujah. Praise God. So He wants us to live in that. He didn't make it hard. He wants to make sure that we can get that. Now, you know, you can let preconceived ideals keep you out of heaven. People tell, you know, I mean, a lot of folks don't get saved because somebody else has told them how they got saved and they think they got to get saved the same way. So they have these preconceived ideals of how you get saved or whatever. It's hard for them just to believe what the Word says. Amen. I've known folk that would go up and give their hand for years in a church. You know, and that's all they did was just get up and shake the preacher's hand. Well, that won't save you. Preacher can't save you. Right? Come on, only a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ will save you. But you can get some preconceived ideals, and it'll cause you to miss out on the things of God. How many of you remember the story of Naaman? Naaman was that Syrian guard. He was high up in the king's army, and he had leprosy. And, of course, they had a little Jewish girl there that was one of their maidens there. And she said, well, I wish he was down there where I'm from. He'd get healed of that. Well, when the word got back to him, he said, well, you know, I'm going down there. So they sent letters to the king to come down into Israel. And the king, he's freaking out. He said, well, they're plotting against me. They're trying to set me up. I can't heal. And he, you know, tears his clothes off, puts on sackcloth, begins to, you know, mourn. And Elisha the prophet heard what was going on. He said, send him on down here. I'll show him that there's a God here in Israel. So he comes up to Elisha's house, and he's got all of his, you know, his, what do you call those, his group. The entourage, that's right. I started to say mirage, that's different. He's got his whole entourage with him, you know, and he pulls up there, you know, to Elisha's place, and out comes the servant. And the servant looks at him and says, the master says, for you go up and dip in Jordan 7 times. Well, he's freaking out, you know, because he's somebody. You know, I mean, you can see the car he's driving. You know he's somebody, right? Got a line of limousines there, you know. Limousine camels or whatever. I don't know what they're, you know. But, you know, he made himself to be somebody. He's got that. You know, and he is in the Syrian army. And so he just gets mad and gets in a rage and says, you know, well, I thought he'd come out here and lay his hand on it, speak over it. He started telling about all of his preconceived ideals that he had been thinking about on the way down, how he was going to get healed. And he gets mad and he goes off in a rage. He didn't receive his healing. And he's going off and he's in a rage. And one of his servants tells him, he says, Master, if he'd have told you to do something hard, you'd have done it. Why not try it? It was a simple thing. Why don't you do it? And so he went down and he dipped 7 times. When he came up, he had like new skin. Why? Because it was so simple that it was just hard for him to believe it could be that way. A lot of folks don't get saved because it's so simple. They just, oh no, yeah, there got to be more to it than that, you know. Especially some folks that have come up under some old teachings and that kind of thing. They want somebody else to have it as rough as they did. Well, I don't want you to have it as rough as I did. I don't want you to go to church and be holding to the back of the pew and as the preacher preaches and giving all invitation, fighting. I want you to realize that God loves you. And getting saved and coming into the kingdom of God is just as easy as you walking up front and saying, you know what? I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life. You know, and here's the thing. You don't even got to walk up front. Amen. You could just confess Him as your Lord right there in the seat. And yeah, I think you ought to tell somebody, because if you get saved, you're going to want to tell somebody. I think you ought to get baptized, because that's just a thing toward your conscience that says, you know, I've lived in this old life, but now I've died to that life. I'm placed under the water. That's the sign of my death. And when I come out of the water, it's a sign of new life. I'm a new person. And that's what we're going to do with Colin here after a while. But I want you to just understand this, and if you're here and you've been kind of teeter-tottering, just thinking about, you know, and procrastinating, you know, you've got to be careful that you don't do that and don't have these preconceived ideals, see, because even procrastination, well, I'll do it another time, right? I'll do it another time. I've got plenty of time. I'll wait till another day. I'll wait till it's not so crowded, or I'll wait till... The Bible says today... Today, if you hear my voice, not harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. So right now is your time. Right now is your time. But if we're not careful, we'll procrastinate, put it off another. Do you know that the reason anybody ever been around a salesman, been on a car lot or something, and you felt like you were being pressured by the salesman? Right? You know, I got somebody else come to look at that car. Right? I mean, there's all kinds of things to try to put pressure on you to go ahead and buy it. Now, do you know why they do that? They do that because they know that if you walk away, you will probably change your mind and not come back and buy a car. But if they can get you to buy it right now, what's on your mind and you're in the notion, Right? Can I tell you it's kind of that way with God? God's got you here and He's saying, come on. I'm offering you salvation. I'm offering you eternity in heaven. I'm giving you a good deal. But the devil, he's saying, oh, you got plenty of time. You ought to go look on some more lots. You might find a better deal. Can I tell you, in the kingdom of God, there is no deal. It's only one thing. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got the best price in town. It's free. Right? Come on now. Best warranty in town. It's an eternity. Come on. See, God wants us to see how easy He's made it. And He wants us to receive His free gift of salvation. But it's a choice we have to make. Every one of us got to make it. Every person. Somebody else can't make it for you. And see, here's the thing about procrastination too, is you don't know if you've got another day or not. And you can say, well, I'm still young. I've got a lot of life ahead of me. Walk out to a cemetery anytime you want to and start looking at the dates on the stones. You'll find every age in that cemetery because you don't know if you've got another day or not. So today, if you hear my voice, today if the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to your heart, see, that's the way God lets us know that He loves us, is right now He's dealing with some hearts. You say, what do you mean dealing with them? I'm saying that He's telling you right now that you need to come. But it'll be up to you whether or not you listen, whether you obey what He's saying. I believe there's some today that need to come and make their life right with God. So there's some folks that need to be saved for the first time, and there's some folks here that need to rededicate their life. In either case, I want to ask you to stand with me. We ask you to bow your head. And I want to talk to you just a second before I pray. There'll never be a better time than right now for you to give your life to Jesus. He's dealing with your heart. You're here and you're in this place. And He wants to save you. He wants you to receive Jesus as your Savior. But you've got to make that choice. Well, yeah, but now you know I've got some things. Why don't you let God take care of those things and you take care of business with Him? Don't matter how young you are, don't matter how old you are, right now is the time that God is speaking to your heart. He wants you to come. He wants you in the kingdom of God. So I'm going to pray right now. And I want you to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord God, to speak heavily to the hearts of those that need to come. Lord, I know you love them just like you love me and everybody else. And Jesus died for them just like He did for me and everybody else. But there's reasons and there's things that excuses that we all have used. And Father, we know that we're without excuse because you've already done everything that you need to do for us to go ahead and be saved. So I ask, Lord, that today you'll give them the strength to step out, make that step to come. And Lord, we give you glory and honor for the drawing power of the Holy Spirit in this place. With every head still bowed, if you're here and you want to be saved, or you're here and you want to rededicate your life, would you just step out from where you're at and come on forward? If you want to get somebody by the hand, that's okay. You're not going to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It don't matter how good a person you are. Don't matter about how good of the things that you've done. Come on. Don't tarry, don't wait. I don't normally do this, but I knew yesterday that God wanted to do this. I knew yesterday that He wanted us